Scripture tells us that we have a God and he's in control. I saw an Instagram post that somebody said, if you just follow God, everything will fall into place. I wish. If you just follow God, everything will fall into place. So many people tend to believe something like that. Like if you just believe in God and give him your whole life, that God will always make your life easier. Unfortunately, that's just not true. In fact, when you devote your life to God, that doesn't eliminate hardship. In fact, serving God faithfully often makes you a target. When you're living boldly for God, your spiritual enemy will tend to take notice. And so, if you ever feel like, man, I might be under attack, the reason is because you might be under attack. If things get difficult, sometimes I know people think, well, I must not be in God's will right now. And you might not be. But when things are going wrong, it might be evidence that you're in the will of God. Because your spiritual enemy doesn't like what you're doing for the glory of God. And he's taking notice. And he's coming after you. And I want you to remember, because there's a lot going on right now, I want you to remember that a spiritual attack isn't a sign you're doing something wrong. It's often evidence you're doing something right. And we're going to see that truth this week in Daniel chapter 6. We're in a message series called Unshakable. We're going to skip ahead and we're actually going to come back later. We're skipping ahead to a famous story in Daniel chapter 6 about Daniel in the lion's den. It's a very powerful Old Testament Bible story. Daniel, I always thought, was kind of this young, kind of cool dude that had faith in God. This is actually not true. Daniel was an old, cool dude that had faith in God. He was probably in his 80s. And when you recognize this, it makes the story way more meaningful. And I'm going to show you why. He was probably in his 80s, which means he actually had a lot of wisdom. He was older. It also means he probably went to the bathroom two or three times a night. And for those of you that are younger, nobody tells you that. But like when you're in your 50s, it hits you. Like it ain't no fun. It's 2 o'clock and now it's 4 o'clock and there we are again. So nevertheless, I'll save that for another day, but I want to show you why this is meaningful. He's in his 80s, and Daniel had actually served under 4 different kings when he was taken away and deported into Babylon. 4 different kings. Actually, 3 different kingdoms are 3 different nations. He served under Nebuchadnezzar, which we talked about that last week. the very evil king of Babylon that conquered Jerusalem, conquered God's people, deported them out of the nation into Babylon. And Daniel is one of those guys. And then there's King Belshazzar, which was actually Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And if you remember the writing on the wall in the book of Daniel, that's him. And he was later assassinated. And then you have King Darius. We're going to look at Darius today. He's an administrative genius. Then week four, we're going to look at Cyrus, who is actually the Persian king that conquered Babylon and then said to the Jewish exiles, you can go back to your homeland. All that to say, this is why it matters so much. During his 7 decades of captivity, Daniel shared his faith with each of the 4 different kings. And watch how he did it. If you'll notice, he didn't criticize them. He didn't condemn them. He didn't call them stupid and demonic because they had a different political view. But through 4 different regimes, Daniel consistently and lovingly shared his faith in God. And he influenced kings without compromising his beliefs. I want to say it again, with love and faithfulness and consistency, he influenced kings without compromising his faith and convictions. And I'll show you Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. This is powerful. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. This guy, he was a very good, systematic leader. With 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So, you got Daniel and 2 other administrators. The satraps were made accountable to them. So, the king might not suffer loss. So, he was setting up his systems and his accountability. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps. Why? Because he had exceptional qualities. The king, therefore, planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I love this line. Daniel, because of his faith in God, so distinguished himself that he stood out, and another king noticed him and said, oh, I think you are worthy of being promoted. Now, the Hebrew word translated as distinguished is, in Hebrew, it's the word Manasseh. And this is the only time this Hebrew word is used anywhere in the Hebrew Bible. And this word means to excel, to stand out, to prevail, or to distinguish. Daniel so excelled, he stood out. He served with such faithfulness. He was so excellent in all that he did that he stood out. He distinguished himself, so much so that the king said, I think you should be promoted. Manasseh. as believers, wherever you work, whatever you do, wherever you serve, whatever you post, however you treat people, you should manasa. You should strive, you should thrive, you should excel, you should always bring your best. As believers, we should stand out in the places that we work as being people who are good to our word, faithful, true, show up early, stay late, bring our best, treat people well, honor those around us. We should stand out. It was Paul who said this, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever it is, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We distinguish ourselves and stand out. I have some friends that are kind of griping right now. Do you have any of those anywhere in your life? They're griping. Our nation's going to hell in a handbasket. I have one question. How does it go to hell in a handbasket? Like a handbasket, what does that mean? I don't even know. There's a whole, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But it's going to hell. The world is so dark. Maybe so. It's time for some Christians to stand out. It's time for some people to thrive and to excel and to love and to have grace and to preach. Whenever the world grows darker, the light should shine brighter. We should be so distinguished that you stand out in how you care for people, love people, serve people, and make it, we excel, we're distinguished. The other leaders, they saw this. Like there's Daniel getting all the attention, teacher's pet, right? And so what'd they do? They hated him. They were jealous. So what do they try to do? Very same thing that goes on today. They tried to get him canceled. You think cancel culture is just in our lifetime? Cancel culture was very, very real there. They came after him and tried to cancel him. And they tried to make some accusation against him. Here's what scripture says. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. We're going to find something that he did wrong so we can take him down. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we'll never find any basis for charges against him unless it has something to do with the law of his God. What do we see going on? They were looking to find something wrong with Daniel. Can we find it? Can we point it out? That's a very long intro, and I want to get into the body of our message. And I'm going to give you the three qualities of unshakable impact. Three qualities of unshakable impact. In a world that's growing darker, and darker. How do we as people of Jesus shine brighter and brighter? Thought number one is we serve God with integrity. We serve God with integrity. Daniel served God with integrity. So much so, the king wanted to promote him. And the other leaders were jealous. And they said, let's find anything wrong with this guy. They looked in and they said, they're looking for, you know, something wrong. And they couldn't find any corruption in him. Why? Because he was trustworthy. Neither corrupt nor negligent. The Babylonian leaders, they were looking for any reason to discredit Daniel. What did he do? He was a person of his word. He didn't cheat on his taxes. He didn't gossip about the king. He was faithful under four different Babylonian kings or leaders or administrators. Whatever. He served God faithfully. The same thing we do. No matter who's in office, God is on the throne. No matter who's in office, we're going to stand out. We're going to stand up. Stand out for the glory of Jesus. Daniel served God faithfully with integrity in Babylon. And his life demonstrated the truth that you may live in Babylon, but you don't have to let Babylon into you. You may live in this world, but you don't have to let the world into you. As followers of Jesus, we will not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You may live in a culture that's growing dark, but you don't have to let the darkness into you. Daniel continued to live with integrity. And the other two, remember, there's three administrators. There's Daniel, and there's the two others. They were jealous. And so what did they do? They decided to kiss up to the king. And they came to the king and they said, hey, King Darius, your style game's strong. You're the goat. You're the living legend. And they said, why don't you make a law that if anyone prays to any god except for you in the next 30 days, then you'll throw that guilty person into the lion's den. And what did the king do? The king's like, I'm down. I'm the goat. And so if anyone prays to anyone but me in the next 30 days, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. What does Daniel do? Daniel loved God, right? Daniel worshiped God. Daniel needed God. And now he's forbidden to talk to God. What do you do when the decree tells you to do something that's different than what God tells you to do? He had three distinct options. The law says, don't pray to God. Option number one is, he can stop praying, right? He can say, I'm going to take a month off from praying because if I do pray, they'll kill me. And it's so much easier to have a good ministry when you're alive than when you're dead, right? So I just stop praying for a month. I'll take a month-long sabbatical. Or number two, he could pray silently, right? Maybe he could, like, I'm not praying, and I'm not praying, I'm not praying, and he's really praying. I'm going to pray, but not close my eyes. I'm going to trick him. Or he could stop praying, pray silently, or he could keep praying. And if he's caught, what happens? He's risking his own life. They'll throw him into the hungry lions. So what does he do? Well, Daniel keeps praying, and his enemies rat on him, and he's eventually thrown in the lion's den. Did he know God was going to save him at that moment? Did he know? I mean, was there a guarantee? Did God tell him he was going to save him? No, he didn't know. He had faith in God when he didn't know the outcome. That's intense. I mean, what would you do in a case like that? Pray? I mean, like, be faithful to God when it could cost you your entire life? Because he didn't know that God was going to save him. And then one day, people were going to name their kids Daniel. He didn't know that. Let me tell you how this story could have ended. It could have ended, the lions ate Daniel, and there was blood everywhere. That's how it could have ended. That's what could have happened. In fact, that's what was likely to happen if he continued to pray. But what did he do? He kept on praying. How do we have faith like Daniel? How do we live with conviction in a culture of compromise? Well, number one is we serve God with integrity. And number two, we trust God with consistency. We do what's right before God. We trust Him with consistency. In fact, Daniel 6:10 tells us this. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, you cannot pray or you die, when he learned that it was published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows open towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God. I love this. Just as he had always done. Think about this. Daniel didn't wait until he was thrown into the lion's den to learn how to pray. Oh, I better pray now. No, he did what he had always done. He had always sought God. He had faithfully cried out to God. Three times a day, he was praying to God. So he did what he had always done. Now, why does this matter? And believe me when I tell you it does. Because it's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what we do consistently. It's not what we do every now and then that makes the difference. It's what we do with a rhythm before God. And when you think about it, I promise you, You will never, ever be really close to God if you occasionally seek Him. You will never be consistently strong in the Spirit and dying to your flesh and living faithfully, walking by faith and not by sight, and being able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. You will never do that consistently if you only seek God occasionally. That's why we're people of the Word. Because the Word of God is living. It's active. It's powerful. It convicts you. It directs you. It goes out before us to do the work and the will of God. We seek God in prayer. We fellowship with other believers. Like when you don't have Christian fellowship, how do you make it? Like, seriously, when your marriage needs prayer and there's no one praying, when your kid's sick, when you're hurting, we stand together as people of God. And I'm talking to the choir right now, I know, because you are here, right? Praise God for you. I'm talking to all of you that aren't going to hear this. You're not here, like, because there was football this weekend, or it's rainy, or it's too cold, or it's too hot, or you wanted to sleep in. We're people of God. We gather together with the body of Christ. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what we do consistently. So, Daniel prayed as he had always prayed. He's under attack. And what's his first response? Cry? Run off and throw a fit? Post, help, help, help. No. Our first response is not to panic, but to pray. And I see it all the time. I mean, it's like, can you think? You know, all hell breaks loose in our life, and we panic. We go crazy. And then we try everything we can. We manipulate. We try this, and we try that, and we try to control this, and we try this. We make the phone call, and then we say, all we can do now is pray. I'm thinking, like, if I'm God, that hurts my feelings. All we can do now is pray. And God goes, well, you're screwed, because I'm not all powerful or anything. All we can do now is pray. People are worried about our country. What can you do? You can pray. You can seek God. You can stand out. You can be a light. You can stand strong. And you don't have to panic, because there is a God in heaven. There is a God. He's been doing this for a long time. And He'll be doing it until He calls us home. In fact, there's another little verse in Daniel that's pretty cool. Daniel 2:21 that says, God controls the course of world events. He removes kings and He sets up other kings. God's in control. He removes the kings. In the Hebrew, it actually can be translated as U.S. president. It's a joke, but it's serious. Like, it's world leaders. God sets up leaders, and God is ruler over the courses of this. He's in control. And so what do? We seek him. We stay plugged into him. We are connected to the vine, living off all the nourishment of God. And what does Daniel do? When he prays, how does he pray? When he prays, remember what the text says. How did he pray? He was kneeling. He was kneeling. And there's something about both the humility and the reverence. Whether you're just reminding yourself, like, I'm not in control. I'm seeking and I'm worshiping the one that is. You're going to kneel sometime or another. Because Scripture says that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. So, every now and then, you just want to, or often, or every day, God, I need you. God, I worship you. God, I trust you. And this wasn't just when he was desperate. He just did this daily, kneeling before God. How could he stand so strong? Daniel stood before men because he had knelt before God. Daniel could stand strong because he was kneeling, dependent on a good God. What do you do? World's going crazy. How do we live by our convictions? Well, we serve God with integrity. We trust God with consistency, and we honor God with faithfulness. We honor him with faithfulness. If there's one quality that we want to embody as disciples of Jesus, is we want to embody faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Because one day, when you stand before God in heaven, or Jesus, or whoever welcomes you, the thing you want to hear is, "Well done, my good and faithful." What you won't hear is, "Well done, my good and important servant." "Well done, my good and wealthy servant. You got your 401k way up there, and you invested wisely. Well done, my good and power. Well done, my good and popular servant." You won't hear that. What you're going to hear is, if you do it right, is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Daniel's in his 80s. For 80 years, God has been faithful to Daniel. For 80 years, through four different kings in a foreign land, stripped of everything that matters to him, ripped out of his homeland, taken from his family, indoctrinated with Babylonian views. And for 80 years, God has been faithful to Daniel. So Daniel chooses to be faithful to God. And he resolved, "I'll do what's right. I'll trust God if he saves me. And I'll trust God if he doesn't." And he prays. Well, King Darius, we know he likes Daniel, but he's trapped. He's like, "Oh, Daniel, why did you do that? Now I got to stand by my word." And so he feels bad about it, but he's got to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And he whispers to him, I like this. He whispered, "Hey, Daniel, dude, bro, man, I hope that God that you continually serve rescues you. because he likes Daniel. And the king couldn't sleep all night because he's worried about this guy. And in the morning, the king comes up and he's shouting out first thing, "Daniel, Daniel, did your God rescue you?" And after a night in a lion's den, Daniel says this, "My God sent his angel, and my God shut the mouths of the lions. He said, they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den and no wound was found on him, why? Because he had trusted in his God. There was no wound found on him because he had trusted in his God. And because Daniel honored God, he spiritually impacted four kings. And King Darius issued a decree, "Hey, everyone in the nation should now fear the God of Daniel. If his God can do that, then his God should be your God. Now, my God shut the mouth of the lion. My God delivered me. My God was faithful. My God has always been faithful." If you missed last week, who is the main character of the book of Daniel? God. God is the main character of the book of Daniel. God is the main character of every book in the Bible. But every story in the Bible points to Jesus. God is always the main character, but every story always points to Jesus. What's so rich and meaningful and emotional to me is that this story foreshadows the story of Jesus. Just like Daniel, men conspired against Jesus. And just like Daniel, men set traps for Jesus. And just like Daniel, Jesus was falsely accused by his enemies. And just like Daniel, Jesus was condemned to die a very violent death. And just like Daniel, he was put into a cave that was sealed, so no human could intervene. And just like Daniel, Jesus walked out of that cave alive and risen from the dead, because that's how good our God is. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven, and he is in control of the course of this world. So no matter what you're going through today, and no matter what happens, you can trust in the goodness of God, because there is a God in heaven, because he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our devotion. You can trust in God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what, you can trust in God, because there is a God in heaven. Let us pray. So, Father, I know that there's so many people going through so much right now. Help us to put our trust in you. And, Father, we do. We thank you, God, that we can trust you with all our hearts, that we don't have to to lean on our own understanding, but God, in all of our ways, we can acknowledge you. We can know you. We can follow you. We can trust you. God, help us to trust you. We pray for our nation, God. We pray for our leaders. We pray, we thank you, God, that we are people of the kingdom of God. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we put our trust in you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.